It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the third chapter of Matthew. That's where we're going to start today, Matthew chapter 3. And so please open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to have a wonderful study today. And so please that you would do that. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. It's one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box, it'd be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Or if you'd like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com, or at gmail.com is correct, and then also it would be parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll prepare for the study today. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all of Judea, and all that region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet to repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, I have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the granary. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Read down through the 12th verse. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. It's always a joy to come together and study your precious word, no matter what's going on in this world. And it is such a terrible, terrible world today that we live in. This country is just... we're kind of beside ourselves in the condition it's in. We know why. It's because, Father, you're absent. People do not want to come by faith and be born again. Folks do not want to be saved. Folks don't want to serve you. They want to, Father, just go on about their way and have their little fun and ignore you and reject you. And when the world rejects the very Creator, you are the Creator of the world, your Son, the Lord Jesus, created the world, spoke it into existence. And when we reject that and go with other thoughts about creation, and we begin to realize or think we don't need a Savior, and when all those things, Father, come, sad, sad day, because we reject you. We should never do that. We should call upon you. We should enjoy your presence. Please, now that we can have a day of study, enjoy this fellowship. I hope that not only are you, Father, that folks are listening to the word today over the radio, but also that they're going to a Bible-believing, soul-winning church today, not some liberal church, not some activities where there's more more like the world than it is a meeting with you. I just ask, Father, that you awaken the people today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a sad day. It's a sad day as we look at all the things that are going on in the world. But there's one thing that's a joy, and that is that when we can sit down and study God's Word and realize where the peace and the joy that can be had if we are a child of God, if we've trusted in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And we've got the forerunner here in our sights as we look at John the Baptist. And I noticed today, you know, the language and just so much today, and it's just a miserable old world out there. So I ask you to come and find joy and peace, and we can do that by this study today and a study every day of God's precious Word. So as we, you know, we kind of got down into the second verse, almost to the third verse, but we're going to read once again and then prepare ourselves for the Isaiah in verse 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that has spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And so that's kind of where we stopped, but we really stopped with the kingdom of heaven. We talked last time together concerning the kingdom of heaven, and we have went through last time the church age, and that's where we're at right now. And then we went through the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation, of which the church will not be here. You'll find some mid-tribulationists, some post-tribulationists, but I believe the Word of God is very clear that He's going to take us out. We have many examples in the Word of God that He will take us, remove us from this earth before that tribulation time starts. And at that time, at the close of the tribulation, our Lord Jesus is going to come down, and it speaks of a sword in His mouth. Well, that's His Word. He doesn't need a physical sword. He is going to speak, and He's going to destroy all the enemies of the cross, all the enemies of the Lord Jesus, all the enemies, those that have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They have rejected God. They could be such a good person. They could live such a good life. But if they reject the salvation that God offers to them through His Son, the Lord Jesus, as is the same problem with you, then His wrath is going to come down upon you, and He will destroy you. And He is not going to annihilate you, because your soul will go down into the place of Hades, into the center of the earth, and you're going to stay there for another 1,000 years if you would be in the middle of this tribulation period. If right now you would die, you don't just, you know, get placed in the ground and that's it. Your soul spends eternity somewhere. It's either going to spend eternity in the joy and the excitement in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to spend eternity with the devil in the place of torment and eventually the lake of fire. And so you've got a choice to make, and you need to make that choice, and you need to make it now. And because it's so important that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you make that decision, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So now as the tribulation period comes to an end, and He comes and plants His feet back on this earth, He sets His kingdom up right here upon the earth, and it'll be here for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, there's going to be 1,000 years that He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And so we have that, and we got all the way just to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Some people call that the millennial reign, but it's at the close of the 7-year tribulation. He will come back to earth, and we'll be with Him. We are raptured before the tribulation starts. In other words, we leave and go home with Him, marriage supper of the Lamb for 7 years, and then we're going to come back, will come back with him, and he will destroy all the enemies, all those that refuse to accept him as their Lord and Savior. He's going to destroy them, and he'll usher in a thousand-year reign with him. A couple of things. Number one, when the tribulation starts, the day that the tribulation starts, there will not be one saved person up on the earth. Not one single representative. No one. Now, there's going to be 144,000 come and witness to the Jews. But at that time, when the church is raptured, every single believer is gone. Every single. You talk about a wicked world. It's going to be wicked because the absence of God right now, we see so much wickedness. But when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit has left with the church, it's going to be a horrible time here upon earth. And again, the old devil's going to kind of deceive everybody the first 3.5 years, but that last 3.5, oh my, he's going to show his true light, and it is going to be the most miserable time anyone can imagine. And so we have that. We have that coming. And so upon that time then, upon that opportunity of coming by faith to Jesus and avoiding this tribulation period. But if you choose to reject Jesus and you're alive during that time, you're going to go into that tribulation period. So there's not going to be one saved person. Well, let's go to the other end of the seven-year tribulation. At the end of that time, when Jesus comes, he's going to destroy every last one of you that have rejected the gospel, that have not accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. He's not going to ask you what church you go to. He's not going to ask you what religion you're a part of. He's going to ask you, and he's going to know. There's not going to be an asking, because he's going to know that you're covered with the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus. You need, and as he comes, and God the Father has sent him, we need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved, be born again. End of that tribulation, going to be the opposite. The only people that's going to be ushered into the millennial reign of Christ is saved people, born-again believers. Everybody else is going to be destroyed. Your soul will go into the place of Hades, awaiting for a bodily resurrection to take place 1,000 years later, because it's 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so we have that, then at the close of the 1,000 years, then there's a period of time that the old devil will be loose, because you see that devil at the end of the tribulation period is going to be bound. And it's hard to imagine, with Jesus Christ himself ruling and reigning upon this earth for 1,000 years, that anyone would reject him. But there's going to be a multitude that still, with their old wicked heart, are going to reject him. And who's going to do it? It's going to be the folks that are born. They're going to have to make a decision. Everybody that walks into the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign, is going to be saved. But they're going to have children, and those children have to make the same decision that you and I have to make, and that is to say yes to Jesus today and trust in him as your Savior. So now we've got ourselves into the kingdom. And so as the Scripture says here, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the very presence of the Lord Jesus is here, but also the kingdom is going to come. The full side of that kingdom is going to come when Jesus comes to rule and reign here upon earth for 1,000 years. Now, we find in verse 3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. If we would move back here in the Scripture, I hope that you're able to take your Bible and look with me at these Scripture verses. And we're going to look at Isaiah, and it's going to be chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Look at these words, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so we find the one that's preparing the way of the Lord here in verse 3. But first of all, we need to kind of take a look, because there's three divisions here to this point. And as we look at the first 35 chapters of the book of Isaiah, speaks of judgment. Very clear. It always speaks of judgment. And then the second section, the division between 36 and 39, and we find there that they're more very much historical. It is Isaiah describing the condition, the living conditions of that time, and then also it tells of the day that they will be under God's judgment, because judgment has been ordered upon his people because they have rejected and not accepted him as their Messiah. They have gone away. They have worshipped idols. All these things are taking place. And so we have that then. The second section is that it's more of a historical period of time. So first we have Isaiah, the first chapters there, verse up to 35, is judgment, because they are living such a miserable, miserable life. And so that's the judgment that's there. But then the second division is 36 to 39. And again, these chapters are historical. So now we come to chapter 40, and that's where this quote is at that we have in the book of Luke. And so as we enjoy this then, we need to understand that as judgment is coming, judgment has been ordered. And now look at these words, and they're precious words. And I don't want you to miss this. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. You see, judgment had come, but also grace is coming. And so we have judgment, we have the historical part in the middle chapters here, and now this words totally. We're looking beyond the captivity period. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. The wicked, wicked time that the nation of Israel lived in, they were not serving, they were not pleasing the Lord with all they do. And so then we come to this point here where mercy is handed out. You faced my judgment, the Lord says. Now here's my mercy. And he's bringing mercy to them. Now, the sad thing, we know the rest of the story, because once again, even though these comforting words were handed out to them, they turned their back on the Lord Jesus. What a sad, sad day. They turned their back on Jesus. But right here, the call goes out. And we find some 700 plus years before the birth of Christ that the words of the forerunner of Christ are spoken clearly. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so, such a joy for us to walk each day, to know the power and the wisdom of God, and yet such a horrible time for anyone that has rejected that free gift of salvation. They've got caught up in religion. They've gotten caught up in the world, and they do not recognize or they don't see the wonderful opportunity of the saving power of the Lord Jesus. Well, John the Baptist was to declare that. They, in the beginning chapters, was talking about judgment and the judgment that was coming, and now we come and we look at this, comfort ye, what a joyful words to be spoken here to these people. And if we just kind of look a little further here as the remaining chapters of Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 42. It says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." And so as we see the promise of the Messiah that's coming, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." And as we would continue, it tells us in this 42nd chapter concerning that he is the Lamb of God, that he is the King of Kings, and when he is the Lamb of God, then he comes with the meekness, and yet he is despised and rejected and smitten and slain. That's what's to come. He is presented as the King of Kings, the mighty conqueror, the one that will restore the nation of Israel. Now we're back to this same thing, the second coming. The second coming. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that it's such a joy to look at the Word of God, to enjoy the Word of God, and to see the hopes that are presented for us, the peace and the joy that is there. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. So as Isaiah made this statement, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Joyful words there. Please trust in him as your Savior. Come by faith to him. Verse 4 then gives us a description of John. He was a kind of a rugged man. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and of leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now, as we look at that, we're going to find that as John speaks, and we know according to verse 7 there, because he makes it very clear, his speech is simple. His speech is clear. His speech is to the point. And that's a wonderful way to speak. Now, we have in Malachi, and we'll turn to it here, Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5, if you wonder where it's at, it's just a book behind where we're located towards the front of the Bible, Malachi 4, 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before." Elijah the prophet before. Now, as we look at that verse of Scripture, now let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's where we're at. To make ready, prepare people for the Lord. And look at back in Malachi, same words. And so we have each time as these the one prophecy after another is being fulfilled, and we know that we go back into Isaiah, we come back into Malachi, and now we have had 400 years have passed from the time that Malachi was speaking, telling the people to turn, telling them that the Messiah was coming, and yet they rejected all those thoughts. And we need to come and realize that 400 years now has passed. Elijah has come. I'm sorry, John the Baptist has come in the power of Elijah. And so they're making it very clear here, the strength and the power of the Lord. What a joy it is to see these prophecies being fulfilled. It was spoken of very clearly, without question. And we know that as we look back here now at the Matthew at chapter 3, and it gives us a little description. He says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. We've corrected that. We've looked at that. And now we come to 4. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. This was a man. He was a very strong man, and he stood for the Lord Jesus. He was, I believe, very physically strong, and I think he was very spiritually strong. He come to tell the people that Jesus was coming. He was the forerunner. And we find that this camel's hair and leather girdle and this kinds of things, that not only was John prophesied and to have the power of Elijah, but it would seem that Elijah maybe was very comparable in the apparel that he wore. And so let's go back all the way back here to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the first chapter. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. And here is a description, verse 7. And he said to him, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered and said, he was a hairy man, with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah, the Tishbite. And it would appear that Elijah is dressed much the same way. His appearance, and it says hairy, the hairy man, it's thought that it was the same as back here, a camel's hair coat. We're not sure, but it seems that Elijah and John the Baptist are very, very much alike. And so he's come. Elijah spoke the word of God, telling the people to repent. John the Baptist is telling people to repent, and it seems that maybe they have much the same appearance. Then went out to him Jerusalem. They've been waiting for this prophet for 400 years. And it appears that Jerusalem and all of Judah and all the region around about Jordan, they all came out to see him, all came out to hear him, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So it was the same. They were coming, they were repenting, and they were being baptized, giving a public testimony of what has happened in their life by coming to know the coming Messiah. See, Jesus hasn't come yet. John the Baptist is the one that's preparing the way. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?